is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1.
I've tried everything that good in my life in this world would offer me. Looking for some peace in my soul.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla. At 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Yeah. Maybe there is someone here who has figured out how to live without him. But I'm with the choir on that, amen? There is no way I can live, Lord, without you. Come on, come on. Where are my folk who can say, never would have made it? Oh, no, never would have made it. Hallelujah. Book of Luke, chapter 15. Thank you, choir. Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. And I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. And I know the screen will have the King James Version. Amen. Then Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me. So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands." So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his eldest son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." Amen. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts, a word that will remind us that you're God and God all by yourself. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you take your seats on this Sunday morning, I ask that you would think with me in terms of a subject, a father's hidden treasure. Amen. A father's hidden treasure. Thank you, ushers. Father's Day is a day designed to celebrate men who have been a blessing to their families. And nowhere is a faithful father more highly regarded than in the African American community. With all of the negative statistics about black fathers, we can never spend enough time honoring those black men and white men who have stepped up and stepped out on faith to be the heads of their households and to honor God's plan for the family. Now, I know that Father's Day is next Sunday, but I feel, we give so much attention to Mother's Day, and it is rightly deserved. Amen? Amen. But because there is this particular need in the black community for more fathers to step up and to stand out, amen, I felt like one Sunday just ain't enough. So I'm going to talk about Father's Day today and next Sunday. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Most of us have heard the parable of the prodigal son. This story, as told by Jesus himself, has been dissected and interpreted from almost every angle. We have heard sermons about the prodigal son. We've heard sermons about his jealous brother. But we very rarely hear sermons about the love of this father. So let's take a look at this father's admirable qualities so that, amen, we might allow them to instruct us and inspire us as we approach Father's Day, which is next Sunday. The first thing I want us to look at this morning is the fact that this father was wise. Let me hear the church say he was wise. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:5 that wisdom is the principal thing. And this father knew how to keep his priorities straight. A wise father gives good instruction to his children. And this father was confident that he had done just that. Because how can you explain his willingness to honor his son's request, to honor his son's demand, and let him leave home with his portion? We often quote Proverbs 22:6, which says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." But at some point, all parents know that they have to trust that what they've taught their children was solid enough, and then entrust that child to God. This wise father knew when to let go. Tell your neighbor, you got to know when to let go. Amen. Amen. He knew that the remaining lessons that his son needed to learn could only perhaps be taught the hard way. So he gave in to his son's demands, gave him what he wanted, and sent him on his way with the family blessing. The hardest thing for a parent to do is let go and let God. But I want to say this to every parent in the house today. If you haven't learned it by now, amen, at some point you've got to let go and let God. Do I have any witnesses today? We hear a lot about the mother's apron strings being the tie that binds a child for life, but the truth is that fathers can be just as possessive of their sons and their daughters, even if you know that you've taught your children all of the sound biblical lessons that will help carry them through life. There is still a tendency to be reluctant to release them to God's care alone. But I need to tell you that God can't do his great work. I said God can't do his great work in their lives until you let them go. The prodigal son's hard-learned lessons came as a result of his own failure to apply what he had learned at his father's house. His earthly father had to send him out to what many of us have been to, amen, a lot of us brag about Southern University and Grambling University and Xavier University, but there are two or three folk in here who, if you could testify right now, you would say, Pastor, I didn't go to any of those schools, but I did go to the School of Hard Knocks. Is there anybody here today with a degree from the School of Hard Knocks? Amen. Amen. So number one, this father was wise. But secondly, fathers, I want you to make special note of the fact that not only was this father wise, he was also forgiving. The prodigal son squandered all of his fortune. He spent his money without really thinking about how hard his father had worked to get it. Amen. And then the Bible says he lost it all. Let me hear you say all. He lost all of it. Losing your life's fortune can be a devastating experience. And if you don't believe me, just ask some of the folk who lost jobs and homes and cars and possessions because of the pandemic. Amen. It's a hard thing. But this son had no one to blame but himself. He was irresponsible. He was reckless with his spending. And the painful reality was that he knew it. Amen. Ain't it something when you know you can't blame nobody else? Isn't it something, amen, when you find yourself in a situation, your back is against the wall, you find yourself in trouble, amen, you find yourself at rock bottom, and at the end of the day, you can't do like 45 and point fingers everywhere else. You've got to admit that it's my own fault. I ought to have one witness in the house today. Amen, amen, amen. He remembered that he had a father, even in the midst of the reality that he had lost everything. He remembered that he had a father who would forgive him. Some sons and some daughters would have never looked to go back home after acting the fool. Amen. They would have thought twice about going home, knowing that they would be greeted by an angry father who would have perhaps said something my father used to say, not to me, of course, but he said, amen, every now and then, he would say, I'm tired of fattening frogs to feed snakes. Many would have been reluctant to go home. Amen. But this young man knew that if he repented and begged to be treated like the hired help, he would be the recipient of his father's forgiveness and compassion. Fathers, you've got to be wise, but you must also be forgiving. I don't understand folk who did everything they were big and bad enough to do in life. I don't understand folk who messed up all along life's way, but then encounter a child, and it don't have to be your child. It can be somebody else's child who's in trouble and who's messing up. and you have the nerve to stick your nose up in the air and act like you never messed up, act like you never had to have God to forgive you of all of your sins. And do y'all know that's a special kind of pride? We talked about it in Sunday school this morning, the fact that God hates pride. And let me tell you, there's a pride that he hates when you discover that somebody has messed up, when you discover that somebody ain't perfect. Amen. You have the nerve to sit in judgment of them. I have come by to tell you today that God has a special place for people like that, especially when it's your child. But then finally, this father was not only wise, he was forgiving, but finally, I want you to note that he was fair-minded. Let me hear everybody say fair-minded. He didn't show favoritism. Though he gave his younger son the portion that belonged to him, at no time did he deny his other son any good thing. In fact, the son who stayed at home already had everything. But how many of you know that it's possible to be so close to your blessings that you lose sight of your blessings? You can grow so accustomed to your blessings that you get spoiled. Amen. Amen. Scientists have a word for it. They call it, they say you become home blind. Amen. There you are fussing about what mama did for this child. And there you are fussing about what daddy did for this child. Amen. You still living at home. Amen. Not realizing you got all the blessings you need. You eating out of mama's refrigerator. You eating the good cooked meals that she supplies. You ought to be thankful. Is there anybody here who knows that, and I've said this before, that if God is blessing my neighbor, that's not the time for me to be jealous. If God is blessing my neighbor, that's not the time for me to be, amen, complaining. That's the time for me to be rejoicing, because I heard somebody say, if God is in my neighborhood, if I just wait a little longer, if I just hang on in there, if I just keep on worshiping him and praising him, I know my blessing is on the way. Come on, thank God for your blessing. This father could have grown impatient. He could have waved that older son off with the flip of his hand. Instead, he demonstrated the patience of a fair-minded father. He had shown no favoritism between his sons, but he was not offended by the oldest son's accusation. He reminded his oldest son that all his possessions belong to him. That's because he was fair-minded. So this father was wise. He was forgiving and he was fair. But I have a question for you this morning, Pleasant Hill. What was the purpose of Jesus telling this parable? It's a nice story, but what was the purpose for Jesus to tell this story? It's packed with many lessons, but what is the prevailing premise for this parable? The truth is, it describes the predicament of all of us, male and female. We are all like the prodigal son. Come on, come on. Where are my witnesses who know we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity? We're enticed by our carnal minds to pursue all that the world has to offer. And if we don't heed our father's life lessons when we are young, we will run as far from them as our fortune will take us. We will squander the blessings, party our way through life's predicaments, and never give a thought to his will and his ways. That is, until, like the prodigal son, we hit rock bottom. I said we hit rock bottom. Then it's a different story. A rock bottom experience forces you to make a decision. Am I going to stay in my mess, or am I going back to my father's house? Am I going to stay in the pig pen? Or will I nerve up the fortitude to go back to my father's house? Amen. Amen. Jesus wants us to know that the father is waiting for us. He's waiting for us to come home. And all we've got to do is be big enough and bad enough to say, Lord, I messed up. I did it. I sinned. I got outside of your will. I walked contrary to your way. And is there anybody here who knows that we serve a Father who is wise? We serve a Father who is forgiving. We serve a Father who is fair-minded. You ought to give him praise today. As I close, there's a story I heard about a little boy. He had finally gotten old enough that his parents let him go out and play in the woods. And this little boy, on his first journey out into the woods, he made up his mind. He said, I'm going to go on a treasure hunt. And while he was out there rummaging through rocks and under tree branches and leaves and all of that, he came upon a stone that had a smiley face carved into it. The little boy was so excited that he picked it up and he ran home to his mama and his daddy. He said, Mom, Dad, look what I found. I found treasure out in the woods. I found a rock that has a smiley face on it. And his dad looked at it and he said, Son, I want to tell you that that rock with the smiley face on it, he said, I made that when I was your age. And I took it out into those same woods and I hid it and I never could find it. But you have found, amen, a hidden treasure that I made many years ago. And that little boy said, Daddy, well, you don't have to worry about it being hidden ever again. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to treasure it. As a matter of fact, when I have children, I'm going to give it to my children. And that story said to me that I ought to say to the fathers that you all have a hidden treasure inside of you.